Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn Live on LauraLynn.tv. Laura Lynn will be headlining the Prepared to Stand Tour in Coquitlam, BC, September 21st, Calgary, Alberta, September 23rd, and in Manitoba, September 24th. Laura Lynn, welcome back to the Goddard Report.
Wow, it's awesome to be here. I love you guys. I love the work that you do and your amazing interviews and how you cover what's going on. So it's great to be here.
Can you tell us about the Prepare to Stand Tour and where people can get tickets?
Okay, well, this is going to be absolutely amazing. We have Dr. Matthias Desmet, and he's recognized as the world's leading expert on the theory of mass formation as it applies to the COVID-19 pandemic. And he's a professor of clinical psychology in the Department of Psychology and Educational Sciences at Ghent University in Belgium. And he's also practicing psychoanalytic psychotherapy. So he's an amazing guy, and everyone will probably remember him from the Tucker Carlson interview, where it all went viral because he talked about mass formation and psychosis, really, and how people, if 5% of the population will stand against tyranny, then there's a chance that you can change everything. So this event is going to be spectacular. We're going to be doing the very first one, September 21st, and that's going to be in Coquitlam, British Columbia. The second one will be in Calgary, Alberta, on the 23rd evening, and the 24th will be in Winnipeg, Manitoba. So we're looking forward to it. You can get tickets by going easily, I guess, to tell you right now would be to go to LauraLynn.tv and then just click on events, and there's an Eventbrite for it. Otherwise, go to my Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, everywhere, and we've got the URL, the QR code, where it'll get you right to the Eventbrite event to order tickets. They're only $29. We tried to make it so everyone could go, and there's also VIP tickets. I think that's for $59, but yep, that's how it's going to be, and I'm looking forward to it, Jim.
Why should we prepare to stand now?
Well, we better prepare to stand. We probably should have been more prepared earlier because they did a real number on us. I don't think any of us knew that the global elitists would have such a plan that they could implement worldwide. And they did it fast. All the countries of the world were either, implementing these strategies of distancing, masks, vaccines, and they either complied with all of that very quickly or, some were resistant, like Mexico and Costa Rica, and I suppose down lower Panama. But most places in the world literally got together, and because of a crisis that the WHO declared, which was ultimately not truly a crisis. In fact, Bill Gates said that had we known that COVID-19 wasn't really going to be anything more than a really bad flu, maybe we would have done things differently. So ultimately, they have plans. We're now hearing about monkeypox. We're hearing about the bird flu, climate alarmism, all of these things. They are not done. They have got lots of strategies to take away our rights, digital ID, everything coming down the pike that we need to stand up against, 15-minute cities, and of course these hate crime bills that they want to pass on anyone like you or I for speaking the truth.
Can you give us a rundown of the speakers, who they are, and what they'll be talking about on the Prepare to Stand tour?
Okay, well, Dr. Matthias Desmet, I've already kind of mentioned, and he's absolutely incredible. What a brilliant, brilliant man. I just met him when I went to Geneva, Switzerland, to the WHO pandemic treaty attempt, where they wanted to pass that worldwide, where all of the, you know, all of the countries of the world would sign up to act, you know, on this pandemic treaty. But Matthias Desmet, sometimes I say his name backwards. It's a different name. But Dr. Matthias Desmet, he was there, and he was just awesome, and I got to interview him, and what an incredible man, completely able to, you know, brilliantly articulate the problem that we're having right now in the world, and that if 5% of us, just 5% of us, would dare to stand, we can actually really, you know, put a wall up to this tyranny and actually stop it because we just refuse to comply. That helps the other, you know, 30 to 40% of people who are like, I don't know if I should just go along with the crowd and be a sheep or if I should go the other way. So he is awesome. He's also really understanding what is coming forward against us. And so he'll be excellent. Now, the other person is Jim Ferguson. He's from the UK, and he is a podcaster and a broadcaster. He fights for freedom and truth. He has a huge following in the UK. And one of the reasons that he has all of that going on is because he believes that the globalists are not done, and that they are going to be bringing their nonsense towards us. They're going to be bringing, you know, more tyrannical measures against us. And so we're just thrilled to have him. He's got an epic voice. He's very well known over there. He's got an organization called the Freedom Train, and it has a massive amount of people worldwide that are forming together, bringing together lawyers, bringing together teachers, bringing together politicians even that will dare to see what's actually going on. And then in Calgary and Winnipeg only, there will be Dr. Brian Artis. And of course, many people know him from the Stu Peters, show on the snake venom in the water. And so, Dr. Brian Artis will be joining us. Now, what he's really talking about these days is all of these preventative measures to help people who have maybe become vaccine injured. If they want to know what can I do to get the metal toxins and all kinds of stuff out of my body, he's got some really good advice on that. And of course, he'll be bringing, you know, he's always got some kind of, you know, monumental piece of information. So he'll be great.
Are Canada and the U.S. at a crossroads of freedom from the machine versus being ruled by an evil cabal?
Yes, we sure are at a crossroads. Look at what just happened with that debate in the United States between Kamala Harris. Well, it was basically Trump against three Democrats, basically. And apparently, you know, the African-American sister to Kamala Harris was her fraternity roommate. And so this is a bit too close for comfort, as people find out later about all of the alliances. But they didn't fact check her on 25 different lies that she told. And, you know, we really are at a place where they have weaponized the justice system against us. Look at what's happening here in Canada with Tony and Chris in the jails. In Alberta, after, you know, I just think very trumped up charges, lots of evidence was presented that should in no way have had them getting anything more than perhaps some mischief charges, but no more than that. And yet we have seen that they put them in there and have given them sentences of 6 years. If you really follow all of the evidence, if you really follow the trial, this is absolutely unjust. But I just love Tony and Chris. They are standing strong. They're not defeated. We're hoping that they can get out actually within 6 months. But yes, we do have a terrible situation in which they want to charge us for hate crimes. They want to they want to criminalize thought. So if you have an opinion, they want us in trouble for that. They want us to be locked up and seized, basically, with our digital ID. They want to put our personal health Everything that's private about our health onto a digital ID so that it's all tied into your banking. One day, maybe because I don't believe in abortion, maybe I'm not allowed to buy, sell in the land. Maybe I can't shop at Costco one day. I mean, it sounds really ridiculous, but this is where it's going. If you have values, if you have principles that the left does not, appreciate, they are working quickly to make it very difficult to have your own mind.
Well, in communist China, that's exactly what they're doing now. They call it social credit. If you get a jaywalking ticket, you're not allowed to go on holidays, things like that. And it's all digital. Yes,
exactly.
So the technology is there to rule your life. And as we saw with the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, they froze hundreds of bank accounts. People who contributed a couple of dollars to what they thought was a worthy cause had their bank accounts frozen.
Yes, 100%. And who knows what they'll do next. What we saw, Jim, was that our government, given the right set of circumstances that they can use against us, will do so. And it's a dangerous thing, and they've got lots coming towards us, it looks like. So we just can't stop.
Now, I believe the Federal Court of Canada also found using the Emergencies Act was basically using a sledgehammer to take a fly off a baby's face. All it was were parking offenses. They just could have given them a ticket and towed them away if that was the problem. They didn't have to seize bank accounts.
Yeah, 100%. There were so many things they could have done. Do you know, everyone there just wanted a meeting. They just wanted to sit down and say, listen, this is what we're concerned about. There were no meetings to be had. Prime Minister Trudeau was very prime ministerially. You know, he didn't even bother to meet with the people. He didn't take seriously millions of people's concerns in this country, and he treated everyone very badly. And I was there the entire time. In fact, I left Delta, British Columbia at 7:30 a.m. in the morning with the very first truckers that headed out across Canada. It was absolutely a phenomenal experience. I was there on the ground. There was nothing but patriotic singing, a lot of love. Maybe some folks who tried to make a little trouble here and there, but we just didn't even know them. I mean, troublemakers are everywhere. Let's face that. But mostly it was, singing beautiful songs, a lot of Christian people there, a lot of prayer, singing the national anthem, a lot of tears, a lot of love, and people standing like I've never seen stand ever in our country. It was beautiful. I'll never forget it. And what we did was powerful, despite what they did to us in the end.
Are we likely to see a federal election in Canada sooner than later?
I'm really hoping so. It's very good news that the very corrupt and evil Jagmeet Singh has decided that he's not going to keep propping up the government that he complains about nonstop on Twitter. I mean, all you do is see him making one horrible accusation after another against Justin Trudeau, which I don't disagree with him on, except I can add even more and throw Jagmeet Singh under the bus as well, because he's the one making this, frankly, absolutely corrupt government stand. We've never had so many ethics violations against one prime minister. We've never had so many times where the people should have risen up. There should have been more action taken against him. There should be more accountability in the media. But because he pays them all so well, they have basically allowed him to just, escape all of the accountability that he should have had. And he's been absolutely very disturbing and very bad for our country and very Marxist and very communist. We're in trouble now. Look what he's done to the economy. People are feeling this all over the world, really. And in North America, I mean, the Biden and the Trudeau alliance basically did the exact same thing to our country, trying to destroy us from the inside out. Many medium-sized businesses to small businesses will never, ever recover and have not recovered from what they did during COVID. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, Justin Trudeau is a narcissistic, and I'd like to say young man, except he's getting older.
He's older than Singh or Pierre Poilievre. Much older.
Right.
He dyes his hair. Look, he used to have a gray beard and gray hair. What happened to it?
That's a good point. He's obviously dyeing his hair now. You know, I mean, hasn't he faced terrible things? His wife leaves him right in the middle of being the prime minister, and Lord knows nobody can really blame her, but there's been no real backlash about that. I think everyone's kind of like, oh, well, you know, and they call it repartnering. She's repartnered. It all comes out because, you know, she broke up another marriage. So I don't know. All of this is just crazy, crazy making. He's been the worst prime minister of all time for our country. We're in the worst shape we've ever been, and they have more plans for us, and we want him gone, and he just won't leave. It's a absolutely shocking thing.
If you want freedom in Canada, who would be the best person for prime minister and why?
Absolutely 100% Maxime Bernier. We've got a real problem coming up here because we're going to get Pierre Poilievre, which is what everyone's too afraid to vote for Maxime. So they're going to vote for Pierre Poilievre. And I wish I could like Pierre Poilievre. I thought he's been very entertaining when he's been, you know, asking questions at, you know, during one of their, you know, house meetings. And he's like, you know, will the prime minister say no to this? Yes or no? Yes or no? And he's got, you know, a very cool way of doing things like that. But ultimately, let's face it, he still wants to meet climate things like all of the things that all the countries in the world, you know, targets, the climate targets. He still wants to meet that. So he thinks climate's a thing rather than, you know, stopping all of, you know, the climate nonsense they are doing. Clearly, they're modifying the climate in different ways because they have laws that protect the U.S. or Canada from doing their climate nonsense, you know, within, I don't know, how many kilometers, 200 kilometers on our side and something on the other side. And why would there be laws if they're not actually modifying or messing with our climate? In any case, Pierre Poilievre still comes in. He doesn't have the best policies for, let's say, something like transgenderism, because the entire group of the Conservative Party of Canada stood in standing ovation in sync with the Liberals and the NDP. Like, what's the difference between the Liberals and the NDP when all of them stand to say, to pass Bill C-4? Bill C-4 would criminalize a psychologist, you know, a leader, someone who's giving any kind of advice, and potentially a parent, if they did not want their child to transition. And if they told their child that they should love themselves the way that they are, the way that God made them. Why not just love yourself? What happened to that message, you know, from two decades ago? It was all about loving yourself and, you know, navel gazing. Now it's turned into, oh, if you don't like yourself, just, you know, you could basically have operations to chop your penis off or chop your breasts off if you're a woman. And suddenly you can just become the opposite sex. None of it's true. None of it's factual. None of it is scientific. It's a fad. And actually, it's growing weary on the entire population. And people like Jagmeet Singh and Trudeau and also Pierre Poilievre will sign on to this because, you know, it's the woke agenda. What's the difference between all of these parties? Maxime Bernier, he's the one. He's willing to speak up on the gender issues. He's willing to speak up on the nonsense of climate. He's willing to speak up on the mass migration of people into our country in the last 3 or 4 years. He has no bones about talking about what have we done. We've got 3 or 4 million more people in our country in the last 3 years. And I recently was traveling from Winnipeg and I was in the airport and it was all brown people. Now I thought maybe that there was some kind of event or something going on. I asked the guy that was sitting beside me, like at two different locations, like, do you all know each other? Like, is something happening? No. It's just, I happen to be one of the, I don't know, 5 or 6 people in the airport that was white. Now that's okay. It's just that I don't know how this is changing so fast. When I got on the plane, you know, I sat beside this young Indian kid and he was telling me he's from India and how he loves being here. He's trying to get his family all over here. And then I asked him again, you know, do you know anyone in the plane? Because there's only 4 white people on the plane. And I thought, like, maybe you're all going to a wedding or something. And that was not the case. And then when I got off and I walked through the airport of Vancouver, you know, again, I am feeling like, I guess I'm the minority. And I thought Canada was, you know, maybe, you know, different, but we've opened our borders. It's causing a lot of trouble. We've got the the pro-Palestinian now marches that are happening. We've got the issue with the Muslims who actually support Hamas and Hezbollah, which I've spoken with them about and said, listen, I thought you came to Canada to reject these terrorists. But instead, I'm finding out that, you know, my very good friend who I marched with in the 1 million march for children against transgenderism last year, Camille El-Sheikh, he has told me he 100% supports Hamas and Hezbollah. I'm like, what? He's been here for, I don't know, 30 some years, I believe. And I thought he would not be seeing it that way. You know, that we would call out terrorism. And so the thing about Maxime Bernier, going back to the question you asked me, is that he will stand up. He will point out what's going on. He will say we need to keep Canada, you know, keep Canada out of wars that are going on across the world. We need to put Canada first. We need to take care of our economy. He's very much for small government. And I just absolutely love him. For any of you out there not following him, Maxime, M-A-X-I-M-E, you know, Bernier on Twitter, he's talking about the things you actually care about every single day. But unfortunately, Jim, I think we're in a situation where we want to get rid of, we want to get rid of Trudeau so badly that we absolutely, we won't take a chance and vote for Maxime.
We'll have more with Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. Laura Lynn, BC goes to the polls October 19th. The current NDP government is making changes to the voting process. Having seen the voting process in a number of places all over the world, should any of the following be of concern to British Columbia voters? Changing of electoral boundaries, mail-in ballots, paper ballots fed into vote counting, electronic tabulators, election officials using laptops to check voter information to see who has already cast a ballot, and printing up of and casting of ballots at polling stations that are not the voters' assigned polling station.
All of those should be concerns to all of us. I mean, it's really simple. We have to be able to trust our election process, or we're going to find ourselves in the same state as many places in the world where you get somebody that gets voted in and people cry foul because lots of foul things happen during that election. You know, you need to show up in your own riding, and it should all be paper ballots. There's absolutely no need for any machines involved anywhere. We should never use machines. Machines were used when Maxime Bernier was not found to be the rightful choice of the Conservative Party of Canada. They used machines during that inner, you know, that was an inner circle election for a leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. And there was over 4,000 too many votes cast from what was on the electoral list of people eligible to vote. How does that happen? Well, you have a malfunction of machines. At that time, Maxime Bernier cried foul, and you know, it was too late. It was, you know, it's an inside decision and blah blah blah. But when we are looking at the disastrous things that the NDP has done to this province, our healthcare is a disaster. Our hospitals are a mess. I've recently had very significant personal people that I know that had very bad service, I guess you would call it, at the hospitals. There's not enough nurses. They have not hired back the nurses that didn't get vaccines. And when they say that they are bringing them back on, no, there's all kinds of stipulations. There's all kinds of things they're still putting in place to try to make sure that the pressure is there for them to get shots. And all of it is just a big facade, nothing but a facade. What they've done to our economy, the NDP is just, it's absolutely the worst. People are sick of it. We're in such a mess. I think it's time for change, and I hope that the BC Conservatives are going to pull us out of this. And I have a lot of faith in John Rustad. He's got a tough job. I think that he's already feeling all the pressure that gets put on you politically to move this way or that way, but I hope he stands strong. And there's only one choice, you know, this next election, and that's that we get the BC Conservatives in power and the NDP out of power.
What can the people of BC do to ensure the October election is just and not fraudulent?
Well, I'm not sure if we can do anything because they all decide how they're going to do it. And, you know, liars are going to be liars. Fraudsters are going to be fraudsters. What you can do is make sure that you do the right thing. You go, you cast your ballot, you make, you know, make your mark on your paper ballot, and you pray. And, you know, a very good thing is to become involved in the process, be somebody who's there to keep watch. We often don't have enough people in these elections that are watching the polls. You can volunteer. It does take a day of your time, but you stand there, you watch all of the ballots be counted. You are eyes to see when somebody, you know, seems to be trying to pull a fast one. You know, and we hope that there's not doubles. We hope there's not dead people voting. We hope that there's not, you know, people bringing in false, ID so that they can vote when they're not eligible to vote. We just need eyes and hands on deck.
If governments in power control law enforcement, the military, and the media, who would investigate election fraud claims?
Well, what are we going to do about that, Jim? Who investigates anything around here? You know, we just have a huge problem. We don't have true justice in this land, not at all. Who investigates the RCMP? Who investigates the government? Who investigates the Picton trial? Who investigates, you know, the thousands that are still missing in this country and people covering it up? The judges don't have to be held accountable. I mean, there is no accountability. Our world is done for in this regard. We need new leadership. We need it to be upended. And the word that I felt, well over a year ago that came so strongly to my mind, and I believe it was really a God thought, that he was literally saying this one word to me, seized, seized, we are seized. People with bad intentions, with power-hungry, money-motivated agendas have seized our nation. Who can hold them accountable? Barely anybody. Just go ahead and try to hold someone accountable for any of the nasty, bad things that they did to us during COVID. Go ahead and try to hold anyone accountable, you know, for what they're teaching our children in schools that we do not agree with. And frankly, I mean, it's one place that, you know, the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Christians, the Jews, we all align on this. We don't want our kids taught this. Somehow, you go to every school in our province and you've got some form of SOGI and activist teachers teaching kids that they can be transgender. We have, I just heard a statistic, 15% of the Gen Z group thinks that they're a different gender. So we've indoctrinated kids. We've, you know, taught wrong things. Our educational systems, justice systems, economic systems, our political forums, our political leaders, all compromised, all of them. And how do you hold them accountable? I do not have a good answer for that because nothing seems to be working. Once in a while, we'll get a win in a court if there's an honest judge, but it's few and far between. And our Constitution, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms has been shown to literally be worth nothing as long as so-and-so and the globalists and the elitists and whoever's making these sweeping powers. The WHO, you know, if you've listened to Lisa Miron lately, you know about Bill C, 293, I think. And that's basically the WHO that wants to bring in, you know, their oversight into how every single country in the world will operate, you know, on behaviors, especially in an emergency. And none of this is defined. So behaviors is not defined. You know, what kind of things they want to actually implement. It's not really defined, but it just gives them so much power. We don't have accountability. We don't have people that are standing up and fighting. And let's face it, even if you are an MP and you're in the Conservative Party of Canada, guess what? The moment that Pierre Poilievre has his backroom meetings and tells everyone to be silent on certain issues, you will be silent or you will not be allowed to run, you know, to be an MP in the next election. So that everyone is kowtowing for their positions, very few have courage.
Canadian federal politicians are the second highest paid in the world. The only ones paid more are in the U.S. Are Canadian politicians overpaid to be in touch with what the average Canadian faces economically? Pierre Poilievre, $299,000 a year. The Prime Minister, $400,000. Others on committees, well over $200,000 a year, much of it tax-free. How can they be in touch with what the average person faces in this country?
It's an absolute disgrace, and I'll tell you why. Because they don't do anything. They literally barely do anything. They're in their ridings sometimes. I saw this in the different ridings that I've lived in Canada, which has now been a few, that they're not in the office. They can get away without doing anything because nothing is really required. Maybe, you know, in Alberta, maybe somebody's goat was crossing into the other guy's, yard. This is what I was literally told, things that they'd have to deal with. You know, when, well, the cattle are grazing in somebody else's land and the MP gets notified and he has to kind of do a little bit of a, you know, judgment between the two. Oh, okay. You know, well, they're not doing anything about all this gender nonsense, even though they don't believe it. They're not doing anything about the economy because they can't. They can't talk about the climate nonsense because they'll be told by Pierre Poilievre to sit down and be quiet or face the consequences. They do nothing. It is absolutely sickening and disturbing. And if we had a government that actually could hold some of these guys accountable, which I always say, please, somebody, somewhere, let there be a riding that gets in two or three PPC MPs so that it can at least be an accountability factor, because the PPC would be just yapping off about what is truly going on. They all cover for each other. They're all on the same boat. There's no difference. They get up and grandstand, you know, and yell at each other and everything, but nobody's really doing their job, and they're way overpaid for what they do. You know, me and you, Jim, we're the underpaid people. You know, we should be compensated for putting ourselves on the line and having to speak this and getting shadow banned everywhere, and, you know, having to wonder how we're going to make it through being sort of journalists and those that want to speak the truth in an era where that is very unpopular.
Back to the tour. Dr. Brian Artis has an interesting theory on snake venom. Can you give us a thumbnail on his snake venom theory?
Well, I think that Dr. Artis may have kind of revisited some of that and made some revisions to his initial thoughts. But what he has to say about snake venom and the properties and where it's found, he lays it out so strategically with the data. He has the screenshots to show you why snake venom is such a very fascinating thing. It's absolutely, like, the way that he presents it and how it's related to COVID is unbelievable. After you see his presentation, you cannot deny the links and the weirdness and the strangeness of how it does seem that snake venom is a very big problem and has been weaponized against us. And so I'm looking forward to hearing him. He gets standing ovations. I mean, whether you like him or don't, you come in to his presentation and you look at the facts as he lays them out, and you cannot help but feel like you've just been really educated and that he's onto something and he's right. I absolutely love the man.
Will Matthias Desmet talk about COVID and why the people around us are doing what they're doing?
I think that he's going to highlight that extremely, and he's going to show what happened. I mean, he's an extremely educated person regarding the psychology of mankind, and he knows the human brain. He knows how we react. He studied it intensely, and he studied it historically. So he's going to be explaining to us some things that were hard for us to understand. We didn't understand why people went so crazy that all of a sudden our neighbors, you know, didn't want to see us. If we weren't complying with wearing a mask, we were treated like lepers. How the unvaccinated were blamed basically for COVID. We weren't allowed into restaurants, libraries. We couldn't attend our children's functions at school. For goodness sake, people that decided that they didn't want some, ridiculous shot that they had slung together in a short amount of time. And, you know, you'd have to just really, you know, put all of your common sense on pause to just receive it so easily. But it's okay. And I don't blame people. I have friends. I have loved ones. I have family who took this shot and they did it because of trust, because you think that this is what you're supposed to do for your community. And yet what's happened, you know, in light of everything that they did to us, is all the data, all the facts is now showing that we have had quite an extreme problem and that there's excess deaths worldwide now. Cancers are skyrocketing. So what do we want? We want to know, how do we be smarter next time? And how do we educate each other to go, we're not going to fall for this again. Most people who took the shots last time are not going to do it again. And most people now know someone who has some sort of injury that came from those. And we featured those people on our podcast. One lady, she's in a wheelchair. She has no more function. She cannot control her biology. Going to the bathroom is now just something that she's completely lost. She doesn't have, she's not able to move her body in the way that she could. She can no longer walk. And this happened right after the vaccine. These are, you know, these aren't everybody's stories, but this was the risk everyone had to take. And I don't think that was a very necessary risk. And so we're going to get smarter about it all. So Matthias Desmet has a way of showing why the psychology of all of this, how it does happen. And they do use fear. And he also is going to be presenting on where we go from here, because the globalists, the elitists, they are not done. They are planning for the next thing, whether it's going to be climate alarmism or the bird flu that's coming. Because in the United States of America, you may know this already, but they are having a bird flu summit in Washington, D.C. in October, next month. They're having another bird flu summit in Florida next month. And so very scary times that they have to take and make something. This is how they do it. They just kind of put it forward, then they brainstorm it, then they have summits, and they have lots of talking points on it, and they scare all of us. And then before you know it, everyone's believing it, everyone's scared, and everyone's acting crazy again.
What percentage of people do you think can think for themselves?
Wow, that's quite a question. Well, it's a lot less than the people that can't. The people that can think for themselves, I think we saw them stand strong. And we didn't see all of them, because a lot of people stood strong quietly and they said, this isn't right. I'm not going to wear a mask because I can't breathe in that thing. And I'm going to look at the evidence of how you're breathing back your own bacteria, and I'm just not going to do it. And, or do it very little. Or maybe they just didn't even go out because they didn't want to have the fight, but they didn't agree. They thought enough for themselves to look into it for themselves and know they didn't want to do it. But the percentage, I'm going to say, Jim, that I'm going to say it's more than we see, because Matthias Desmet makes the case that if 5% will stand strong, it will convince the rest. I would make the case that well more than 5%. I mean, I heard somewhere that in British Columbia, 12 or 13% never got vaccinated. So let's say there's 12 or 13% that kind of said, I'm just not going to do it this time for varying reasons. I hope it's more. I hope it's like 25 or 30% of our nation, in actual fact, had a sense that something was wrong with what was being said and done, and that the lies were being told to us, and that they didn't listen. I hope it's even higher than 30%, but I'm going to probably just rest right there.
Are Canadian cities by design being destroyed like some U.S. cities are?
Yeah. 100%. Canadian cities are being destroyed. And, you know, first of all, we've got the 15-minute cities that they're trying to put in everywhere. They want us to not, I had Lisa Moran talking about the 15-minute cities, and basically by 2040, they want everybody not to have cars. They want you to just be able to walk anywhere, like, don't do your travel. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Like, that's just pure ridiculousness. I mean, it doesn't make sense. They want us to only buy 3 articles of clothing. What was that? What was that by 2040 as well? So all of us ladies, of course, just think that's, I mean, right there, we are protesting. We are not going to succumb to only getting 3 outfits per year. So that's ridiculous. But then there's also what we have with migration that is coming in, and whether it's legal or illegal, It is changing the structure of our country. We are definitely having problems with our hospitals. Now we're not getting the care. If you go to emergency, you can really be waiting a long time. We're not being able to find doctors, our own personal doctors. If you happen to not have, you know, your own doctor and never secured one, well, you know, you're at a walk-in clinic the rest of your life, just seeing anybody who can take you, I guess. And even at that, you're waiting a long time. And I just think that the face of our nation is being destroyed, that they don't care that they're bringing in workers. So when you bring in the workers to do some of these jobs that no one wants to do, you're also keeping wages lower. So everybody doesn't get paid wages that will be more in keeping with inflation. We've got really a very big problem. And we talk about this a lot on our show, LauraLynn.tv. We talk about this every day. We have guests that are experts that are talking about the ways in which Canada is changing. And for me, I'm really sad. Like, we moved all of our funds out of Canada. We literally sold our family home after the kids left, and we sold everything. And we purchased land in Costa Rica, which has doubled in price, and we purchased land in one of the states. And we just decided that this was not a safe place to be. Apparently, if you want to speak the truth here, you might have a problem with the Prime Minister, putting one of those laws against you. So, it's a very alarming time, and I do hope that things can change with Pierre Poilievre, but he has no real intentions of changing, the immigration. And I think that's doing us damage.
Should we be concerned about 15-minute cities and C40 cities in BC and Canada?
Yeah, 100%. They're going to be little prison cells. And in the event where they announce another pandemic, and if you're in one of those 15-minute cities, you will be very easily ordered to stay within your confined space. And who knows how long it'll be for? I mean, last time that was pretty bad what they did to us for no reason at all. I'm telling you, no reason at all. That we had to be, to go through all of that. And then to, for them to be able to announce any other next crisis, with 15-minute cities, basically you're just going to be, you're going to have roads blocked off, all kinds of stuff that they have planned. It's not good. And people have to be aware. We did an incredible show on the 15-minute cities where Lisa Moran went through line by line what they have planned, what this will look like, what their target dates are for implementation, how they don't even want you to be able to get a car that's run by gas within a few years. Then they don't even want you to have a car. What's happening lately with all of these planes that are having an unusual amount of airline disturbances with planes, strange crashings, basically giving us, you know, the sense that this air travel is not safe. And there are certainly concerns these days. DEI and all those kinds of things have caused, the quality of safety to be downgraded for sure. That's what's happened. So, you know, we do have problems, in that regard. And 15-minute cities will be like a little prison. Mark my words.
Having run as a candidate in both federal and provincial elections, are you disillusioned by the swamp that has its tentacles everywhere?
Yeah, I am. And, I don't think I'll run in politics again, but I was sure in the right parties. Provincially, I was with the Christian Heritage Party, and federally, I ran with Maxime Bernier. I think that now for me personally, that my voice is better for me to follow my calling, and I'm about to go on Daystar Television and have my own half-hour show there. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I do stand behind Maxime Bernier, who is a politician that I can respect, tells the truth, stands up for what I actually believe in. I absolutely love this man. No one else in our politics, no one else is talking about getting a law in place so that we don't just abort 7, 8, 9 month pregnancies. So that is not something we do. We still have absolutely no law Pierre Poilievre doesn't want to talk about that. I guess it's probably just too hot an issue, but of course his wife is extremely pro-abortion. And so we just don't have people that are willing to honor life. You know, when you don't honor life, then you get into things like MAID, right, where people are being literally executed by the thousands. Canada is one of the leading subscribers to MAID across the world, medically assisted suicide, where you are just, you know, oh, you're having a bad day and, you know, you've got a lot of pain. Well, we just want you to know, since you're in the hospital, that you could get MAID. And apparently a lot of people are taking this on. And all kinds of people, that we've had some stories of people being infuriated by that because they came in, you know, to a hospital for something else, or they're just going through a hard time and they're offered MAID, for Pete's sake. We don't have a country with politicians that will stand up for humanity, for human beings. As soon as you discredit a human being from conception all the way to their death, and you start treating them as just numbers and, oh, we have too many of them, and that's what politicians do. You're just a number. They don't care anymore. There's a lack of empathy. There is not a concern for people. And yes, I think all of them are corrupt, every last one of them. And even those that say that they believe in the kinds of things that I believe in, what do? They keep silent so that they can keep their jobs. If everyone would just become a real sore spot to Pierre Poilievre, if you believe in something that is being done morally wrong, and you would just stand up as a member of parliament, say so, and just raise all holy hell and get other people to do so. It wouldn't be so easy to just tell members of parliament to just stand in line and get in line, you know, and stay in this little box or else. Well, we have that now. We have no accountability. It's a disaster.
Where can our listeners follow you and find out more about your Prepare to Stand tour and get tickets to attend?
Thank you so much, Jim. It's really easy. LauraLynn.tv, LauraLynn.tv. Got all my shows there, all the cities that we're going to be in, and how to get your Eventbrite tickets. And every single day we have amazing guests. Every single day, world-class guests. We just had Naomi Wolf on 2 days ago. Absolutely epic interviews, epic information that we need to know so that we can survive and thrive, because it really is time to stand. And so I hope everyone who hears this can come out and see Dr. Matthias Desmond, Jim Ferguson, and Dr. Brian Artis in Calgary and Winnipeg.
Laura Lynn, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
My guest has been Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn and Friends on LauraLynn.tv. You're listening to the Goddard Report on TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Find us on X at TalkDigitalNet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Questions for the show or our guests can be emailed to info@HowStreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.